culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
It's Groundhog Day. Was yesterday. I think it was yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah, it was yesterday. We're living in that unbelievable time, really crazy, crazy times. I want to talk with us a little bit this morning. I want to hear from you, of course. Thanks for joining us. It's going to be 60 degrees here in Ohio, if you can believe it, today. On what's Groundhog Day, which really, I don't know if you know, Groundhog Day is really just halfway between December 21st and June 21st. Is it June? When's spring come? March? When's spring? You used to remember that March 21st? But February 2nd is just halfway. So when they say that the groundhog's coming out and you're going to see whether it's six more weeks of winter or whether spring is close, well, it's six more weeks of winter. It just made me mean a week spring. But it's how they manipulate us with words. And we're in for a rocky. Some upsetting of the apple cart that's going on in Washington, D.C., I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. One of the things I'm really beginning to see, I don't know if you guys are, is how dysfunctional. I'm not going to go into any depth of anything right now. Some really, really, the religious organization of America is absolutely dysfunctional. It's so dysfunctional. I don't know how we got that way. And I'll be honest with you, I really don't know. I really don't know what to do about it. And somewhere along the way, we became became a Christian denomination, or even worse than that, our local church became just one entity of Christianity in our community, sometimes shining a light, sometimes not so much, sometimes getting involved, sometimes not getting involved. And all of a sudden, really, Christianity's kind of lost its impact, isn't it? The government kicks around Christianity. I want to start with this real quick and see if I can find it. There it is. Play number eight for me. Play number eight. With somebody, this is Bevelyn. Bevelyn Williams. She was one of the people arrested for rescuing babies. Let's stop right there a second, folks. Bible says, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Why is it that the church, the American church, is putting up with the government calling good evil? Are we expecting evil government to do good? That's never going to happen, right? So here's Bevelyn Williams, went and prayed in an abortion clinic. They locked her up, threw her in jail. She had a little baby of her own. How do we get to this point? Say, Coach, you anti-government? No, I'm pro-God's government. I'm pro the government of God. I'm pro the kingdom of God. Unto us a child is born, unto son, us a son is given. Princess, pull that up. Say, Coach, where is it? It's in Isaiah 9. You know, pastors must think I'm crazy. They must think I'm crazy. I said that to Michelle yesterday. They must think I'm crazy. For unto us a child is born. Back up a little bit, buddy. There. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government, I believe that could either be a verb or it could be a noun. The government of something. Hey, Coach Dave, will you take care of the government of this thing? Yeah, I will. It can be a verb. But if Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, if he's the king, then he's the head of all government. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, stay with me a second. We're a body. We're a body, right? You're a body. Everybody do this. Yeah, I got a body. And the body begins where? Hey, Spencer, seeing if you're paying attention, where does your body begin?
At my head.
Nope. Because your head is called the head. The body begins on your shoulders. You see it, folks? For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Hang on. What sits on top of your shoulders, folks? What sits on top of your shoulders? Your head.
Your head.
Your head sits on top of your shoulders. So who's the head? He is the head. Unto us a child is born, unto son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders. He's the head, we are the government, his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince. In case you don't know who that head is, right there it is spelled out for you. Now watch this. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Why shall there be no end? Because his head, the king, is resting on the body. Are you? Do you see this? And you look at the American church scattered all across whatever, obeying government of wicked men. No wonder we're so screwed up. And they came along with a Johnson Amendment somewhere along, I don't remember when that Johnson Amendment, 19... check that out, Spencer. I'm kind of riding raw here a second. The Johnson Amendment, 1947, 1948, whatever it was. When Vinny says 1953, Lyndon Johnson was running for president of the United States, and the churches were deeply opposed to Lyndon Johnson. And so Lyndon Johnson was being criticized by the local church, and he passed through the Senate what they called the Johnson Amendment, which said that the church is not allowed to, because the church is tax exempt, the church is not to be allowed to criticize government. There it is. The Johnson Amendment is a provision in the tax code since 1954 that prohibits friends. Who's the head again? Can somebody tell me who the head is and the government's upon whose shoulders? And since that that prohibits all 501c3 nonprofit organizations from endorsing or opposing political candidates. Section 501c3 organizations are the most common type of nonprofit organization. Why do we have to get approval from the government to exercise our faith? Why do we have to do that? Ranges of charitable foundations, universities, churches. The amendment is named for Senator Lyndon Johnson, who introduced it in a preliminary draft of the law in 1954. And so because of this, virtually every church in America now is a 501c3. And who is at the head of the 501c3? We have a double-headed monster. We have the Lord and the government. And so the government is going to tell you and me and Christians everywhere how you can spend your money. In fact, I have to fill out all kinds of forms to tell the government where our money went. Why? Because we're not the head anymore. God's not the head anymore. He's not the head anymore, friends. Government is the head. Jesus Christ is subservient to the American government. You can't even pray in the name of Jesus Christ in American public school. Come on. All of it, with the approval of the local church. And so we begin to see what's going on. Pull up Bevelin. Did I tell you that? Pull up Bevelin. Bevelin Beatty. Stay with me. Hey, Spencer, I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. Pull up the First Amendment. Folks, I want to train you in righteousness. I want you to understand you've been lied to. Understand? Now, this is so simple. Congress shall make no law. Why did they say Congress shall make no law? Can anybody answer me why they said Congress shall make no law? You might know why they said that?
Congress can make law.
Because only Congress can make law. Only Congress can make laws. and says Congress, who is the only one who can make law, can't make any laws regarding an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Can somebody tell me that if I want to give, I don't care, $5,000 to some, no, could be a person, could be a relief organization. Can somebody tell me why I have to report that to the government? Come on now, come on. Can somebody tell me, would that be a prohibiting the free exercise of it? If I have to keep records and all that stuff and report to them, is that, come on now, friends, is that prohibiting the free exercise of it? Yeah. And can Congress make a law abridging your freedom of speech? So if Bevelin Beatty wants to go sit outside of an abortion clinic and preach to women, can the government do anything about that? Come on! Can they? No! Or of the press? Can, wait a minute, Congress shall make no law respecting, understand these are the Billy and Joe and Tom, it's this and this and this and this and this. It lists the children. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof religion, or prohibiting the free exercise of religion, or abridging the freedom of speech. Hey, Spence, for slow learners, public schoolers, what's it mean to abridge? What did Webster say meant to abridge? Let me ride this horse a minute, okay? We're so abridge, to make shorter, to epitomize, to contrast, to lessen, to diminish, to deprive, to cut off. Huh? Congress shall make no law to deprive or cut off from freedom of religion. Go back to it, Spencer. You with me? Congress, who's the only one that can make laws, can't make any laws regarding religion. Establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. If I want to start a church, it ain't none of the government's business. Are you with me? Are you guys with me? I'm just going to make up a name. If Terry Thomas wants to start a church and wants, no. If Terry Thomas, I don't know a Terry Thomas. Terry Thomas wants to start a ministry. God's called him to a ministry. Can somebody explain to me why he needs a 501c3 approval of government in order to be able to do that and to report every cent that comes in to the government so the government knows what? Can somebody explain that to me? Because Congress can't make a law making them do that. That's prohibiting free exercise thereof. Nor can they abridge his freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peacefully to assemble, to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Every one of those, that First Amendment is null. It is absolutely obliterated. It is gone. Everything we do, we have to do it with the approval of the government. Anybody, you guys agree with that? Here's the result of it. Here's the result of it. I'm trying to prepare you today because I want you to know hell is about to break loose in America because that governmental beast is being dismantled. And they are not going to go quietly into that good night. They're not going, folks, I'm telling you. Look, there's going to be you. All the tariffs, they're going to do away with the income tax, supposedly all that stuff. Folks, do you understand the financial calamity that this will cause? What we are going to go through as we paddle our way back to freedom. You understand? And they begin to cut off government programs, welfare programs, and they begin to peel back. Do you understand? You understand the made-up money that's being funneled from the government through America, it's going to be cut off. You understand the consequences of that? And are you ready? Because as we, it's like, anybody out there lose weight? It's hard. If losing weight was easy, everybody'd be doing it. But it isn't easy. So it looks like our government's about ready to go on a diet, maybe become anorexic. And there is an impact to that, friends. And you're going to hear some of your friends begin to complain and groan and moan about the economy. We don't have any money. Now, folks, they're printing it anyway. They're making it. Okay. Okay. That's where I'm heading with you today. Hang on. So pull up at Bevelin. Pull up Bevelin, a woman. Look at this woman. Beautiful woman. Think of the drugs coming across, the fentanyl coming across the border. Think of the gangs raping and all the stuff that they're doing. And the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, comes after Bevelin. Play this.
Put you guys in my shoes for a second. Could you imagine 3 years, right?
Yeah.
You get indicted. So you're thinking, nah, no way. This got to be dismissed. It's not dismissed. You pray. Mm-hmm. God, this has to be dismissed. This is unjust. It doesn't happen. Then say, okay, I'll go to trial. But God, I got to be found not guilty. And then it doesn't happen. You're found guilty. And on top of that, I was found guilty alone. I had a co-defendant, but I was found guilty alone. I was singled out. Then on top of that, now I'm like, nah. I mean, the judge got to be lenient something. She got to at least give me probation. No. 3.5 years. Another prayer. Unanswered.
Yeah.
Bail appeal. 2 of them. No. Each time. The Supreme Court didn't even bother to read it. It came up. They said no to it. Christmas over. My prayer to go home for Christmas. New Year. Thanksgiving. Nothing. I'm getting no after no after no. And I'm still having to be resilient in my faith. And so now as the 20th is coming, I'm getting these whispers in my ear, obviously from the enemy. You're going to get left behind. You're not going to go home. He's not going to pardon you. They're going to forget about you. And I'm hearing this, and it's like, I want to counter it, and I am by my faith, but it's not stopping it from happening. Breaking news. Trump has signed executive orders. 2 go by. And then now he brings this one up, and he says, oh, and this one is for the pro-lifers who were unjustly charged. And as he's saying it, I'm sitting here watching it with my homegirl and I'm hyperventilating. I'm like, what? What? Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, he's going to sign it. And like, I didn't even hear him saying it was an honor to sign it or none of that, because I was literally freaking out.
Yeah.
And then all I hear is that pen scribbling. And I'm like screaming, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! I'm going home! Like, I couldn't believe it. I'm all through the unit screaming and praising God. I call my husband like, babe, come get me now. He just signed it. I'm going home.
She's shouting, Jesus! I love it. There's an awakening, people. There's an awakening happening. And so her nightmare ended because Trump signed that, they're out.
Well, and to think too, like I didn't even realize that this happened. Like I'm like, am I totally
that? Hang on. How typical is that? She didn't even know this had happened. But Bevelin Williams, with a brand new baby of her own, is sitting in jail for simply exercising her God-given First Amendment right. See, the government didn't grant Bevelin Williams the right to speak. God did. Free exercise of her faith. And if her faith compels her to go sit in an abortion clinic, how is that worth 3 years in jail? What has happened to us? Go ahead.
Born where this lady was incarcerated for praying in front of an abortion clinic. I mean, literally, like a prayer that you or I, a Pentecostal prayer we would pray, put her in jail. She wasn't arrested at the time. She was arrested on federal charges and gets locked up for, I think it was like 41 months. And thank God for President Trump. This is
3.5 years.
She's been in jail for three and a half years. UK, where you can't even pray in your head anymore without being locked up. That is terrifying. Doesn't matter if she's a young mom. Doesn't matter any of those things. They're going to make an example.
Folks, in Great Britain right now, they have a guy who stood outside, a former vet, a guy who served in the military, prayed outside of a clinic. The police said, what were you praying? And he said, well, I'm a Christian. And boom, the guy's off to jail. Mm-hmm. That's what was coming. That's what was stopped. And it ain't stopped yet, because the ripple effect of what's happening in America is going to touch the entire world. Mm-hmm. It's going around the world.
Okay, pull up for me. Number 2, because look, I'm telling you this. We, you and I, must engage. And the easiest thing to do is say, not my bailiwick, or, you know, it doesn't really involve me. How could the American church sit silently by and watch these 11 people thrown in jail? How could they do that? How could they do that? And you heard that girl say, I didn't even know anything about it. I didn't even know anything about it. And they lock up 1,500 J6ers who didn't do anything except exercise their God-given right. Bill Dunphy went there, and what did he do? Petitioned the government for a redress of grievances. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. Pull that First Amendment back up, Spencer. Pull the First Amendment back up. Because what? Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion or, at the bottom, the right of the people peaceably to assemble. See, that's why Nancy Pelosi made sure it wasn't peaceable. The right to peaceably assemble is just as sacrosanct as the right to free speech. They are both absolutely without control of the government. Government cannot control any of that. Now, if you violate the law, if I go over and punch somebody in the mouth, well, that's different. I don't have the right to do that because my freedom of speech ends where your freedom of speech starts. You can't come over. I can't go over and punch you in the mouth because I didn't like what you were saying. Okay. Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble to petition the government for a redress of grievances. What's a redress? Spencer, another word they need to know because most of them slept through eighth grade. Redress. Redress. To set right, to remedy, to repair, to relieve from. Anybody want some redress of income tax? The illegal income tax? Are you tired of that? What do they teach you in church? They teach you in church it's our duty to pay it. What? Our duty to pay money to Caesar to kill babies? That's our duty? Go back to what you had up there before. Here's the problem. Go back to number two. I'm sorry. Let me make that clear. Here's our problem. Go ahead.
Luke, fall out.
There's a government looking over
when
his shoulder.
When a man's mother dies and
the FBI.
He gets to thinking about her funeral and paying respects, before he knows it, his mind ain't right. He's got rabbit in his blood, and he runs. Will you keep me off the road for a while?
I'm going to say a prayer for your ma, Luke.
Stop a minute. Stop a minute. Did you hear what he said? As they're going to go lock him up, a Christian man said, what? I want to say a prayer for your mom, Luke. Keep going. Good Christian man. Good Christian man saying a prayer for Luke. Doing nothing wrong. His mom died. He did nothing wrong. Here it is.
Sorry, Luke. I'm just doing my job. You got to appreciate that.
Nah. Calling it your job don't make it right, boss.
Boom. That's the line of all lines, isn't it? Christians. Calling it your job.
21.
Don't make it right. Just protecting my family. Don't make it right. Criticizing Bevelin for going, she shouldn't have been out there. She shouldn't have been out there. Christians don't act like that. I'm just trying to warn you. We're in the beginning of time like we ain't never seen. Real quickly for me. Pull up for me number three. The government purge that's going on in America right now. We are in the midst of it right now. Mass carnage. The government is calling it mass carnage. As Trump and Musk ruthlessly gut corrupt government agency after corrupt government agency. Huh? Carnage. Carnage. Folks, the things that, well, I didn't have this time this morning to get all this. I'm going to let you jump in here in a second. Look at this. Oh, boy, oh, boy. If you want to understand what's really going on in any organization, you need to follow the flow of money. So Elon Musk has been wanting access to U.S. Treasury's payment system. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent gave Elon Musk the books. Secretary Scott Bessent gave representatives of the so-called Department of Government Efficiency full access to the federal payment system late on Friday, according to three people. The new authority follows a standoff this week with a top Treasury official who'd resisted allowing Musk's lieutenants to look at their books. After getting in, Musk discovered that payment approval, listen to this, payment approval at the U.S. Treasury was rubber stamped. The Dodge team discovered, among other things, that payment approvals at Treasury were instructed always to improve payments, even to known fraudulent or terrorist groups. They literally never denied a payment in their entire career, not even once. Our government. Somebody says we need $6 trillion and rubber stamp. $6 trillion. Nobody checks it. Nobody sees what's going on. Folks, this gravy train is coming to an end. If Musk stays alive and Trump stays alive, and if they stay alive, it's coming to Trump. Come on, come on. Every single year, more than $6 trillion is disbursed throughout the USA. Tens of millions of people across the country rely on the system. They're responsible for paying Social Security, Medicare benefits, salaries for federal personnel, payments to government contractors, grant recipients, tax refunds, among tens of thousands of other functions. And typically, only a small group of career employees control the payment system. And former officials have said it is extremely unusual for anyone connected to political appointees to access them. Boom. It's just your money. Your money. Raise your taxes. Your money. Boom, boom, boom. I'm not going to put it in the chat. You have to read it to believe it. Have to read it, believe it. So here's what we're going to deal with. Number six, Bisco, I'll get you in a second. Sleeper cells in America more now than ever after the open border fiasco under the Biden regime. When the military strike killing senior IS attack plan, expect those cells to be activated. Can I tell you the truth? Some of those cells are government funded. So you put this in the chat. We are heading in to the most dangerous time, at least in our lifetime, in American history, because Trump is cutting off the spigot. He's cutting off the spigot. Now, we say, yeah, they're laying off 10,000 workers in Washington, D.C. Where are those people going to get money? Where are they going to get money, these employees? Where are they going to get money? Are they going to go quietly into the night? So we need to be in an attitude of, we're at war. We're at the beginnings of World War III. And World War III, as General Flynn told us, was fifth generational warfare. It's an information warfare. Come on, wake up. Come on, right? Huh? A plane is run into by a helicopter? It's almost impossible for a helicopter. Helicopters have these transpondents on it that avoid it on their own. Somebody had to override the transponder to fly it into the plane. Somebody had to do that. And then what? Then another plane hits in Philadelphia, although we find out maybe it wasn't a plane. Maybe it was a missile. Gotta wake up, man. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get you on your toes, baby. There's a devil loose. There's a devil loose, man. We're seeing the cataclysmic battle of eons in front of us right now. And if we don't wake up, the church doesn't wake up. Oh, my, that's a whole nother one. Oh, are the churches getting exposed? Hey, Spencer, I can't find it. That lady in, that Episcopal lady who preached against, who at Trump's, you guys know what I'm talking about, at Trump's inaugural, that witch, that wicked witch. Oh, come to find out why she oversees $53 million that Trump was going to cut off. Did you guys know that? Huh? That's not it. Because if you can scroll down, Spencer, I should have had this. I'm sorry. $53 million going to be taken away from this witch.
And coach, because she protects illegal immigration. She protects
illegal immigration. That's right. That's right. Yep.
Not legal migration.
Down at the bottom, New York Post, Spencer. Next one. Next one. Episcopal bishop lectures Trump are earning taxpayer millions to bring migrants into the U.S. Scroll down, right there. How much? Keep going. Her ministry for 2024 earned $53 million. From various taxpayer-funded government programs. Look. $53 million to resettle 3,600 people. Come on. Where's that money going? Where's that money going? Did you guys know that the federal workers for the last 2 years haven't even been going to work? They've all been working for home. Do you know that President Trump said, hey, you guys, you can all retire, or I'm going to fire you. Oh, they're screaming and hollering, right? You want to retire, or I'm going to fire you. We are going to drain the swamp. Hang on. Trust but verify, right? I don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I don't know Trump. I don't know if he's just playing the game. I don't know. Pull up number three real quickly, and then I'll get you all in here. A lot of information after Monday, after waking up on Monday morning. Groundhog. Number three. Oh, I was showing that, wasn't I? But going back down. Well, hang on. Going down. In a typical year, right there. In a typical year, over 1 billion payments are made by the U.S. Treasury, and not a single one is ever denied. The Office of Personnel Management is the largest HR department on the entire globe. For a moment, I would like for you to imagine a bureaucratic nightmare in which thousands of Karens are running around making insane workforce policies for the entire government. This is essentially what the Office of Personnel Management is doing. Literally, one of the very first things that Musk and his team did on January 20th was take command of the Office of Personnel Management. Unaccountable bureaucrats on the government. Teat. Arbisco, come on in.
Coach, is the 501(c) necessary if income tax goes away?
No. If
amen.
If I were to pick somebody, if I were to say Betty wants to start Betty Perkins Ministries, it ain't none of the government's business. It ain't none of the IRS. Pull up. First Amendment. Pull up the First Amendment. Betty Perkins Ministries. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. Now, first of all, Betty didn't establish a religion. Betty is exercising her free exercise of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And if the government wants to come in and tell Betty and make Betty record how her money is being spent, then government is the head of her church. Why can't we see this?
Amen.
Well, coach, they have to do that to keep people honest. Well, why are you giving money to a dishonest person? And as a result, your local denomination will not speak out because they're afraid to violate their tax-exempt status, which Lyndon Johnson put into place and ain't worth the paper it's written on. Congress shall make no law. What is it you don't understand? What is it that we don't understand about that? Every one of you, Angie Ryan, I hope you have a ministry. Oh, you say, but coach, I got to report it to the government. Says who? Who says that if the Lord has given you a ministry and people donate money to you, you got to report it to the government?
Insanity.
Does anybody see it? Am I the only guy? The only guy? Dale.
That's why many people are coming out of the 501c3, coach. It's right. Very simple. And in my case, what it is, I file with the state. I don't have to report any monies. I don't have to report anything to the IRS. I don't have to report anything. Mine is for the purpose of is that we own our property and we don't have to pay taxes on that. So for the purpose for that or for the fact of business, if I do Costco or Sam's Club, I got to show that I'm a business. So I'm a tax-exempt state and corporation. And I don't report anything except for we are a church and we're still functional once a year.
We have an EIN number. Folks, you need an EIN number to open up.
Yep.
You have to have an EIN number. And other than that, it isn't any of the government's business what the church does with the money, folks. Come on. And can I tell you another one? Let me take it another one. Pastors love the 501c3 because they're allowed to say, well, we're not allowed to talk about politics. We're not allowed to talk about that.
Well, coach, if I may interject real quick, one of the biggest things for the 501c3 that churches like, I can't do, but they can. I have no option of getting government assistance whatsoever, and they get it by the million.
So pull up number four. Hang on, Craig, I'll get to you. Number four, non-government organizations. We talked about that yesterday. Friend, listen, friend, are you listening? $350 million from the Department of Human Services has been given to non-government organizations in support of migrants. Hang on. The federal government has given grants to you can name a lot of them. $1 million to this, and what do they do with that $1 million? First thing they do, I'm sorry, I hate to tell you this. So let me give you a good example here. They give $1 million to Dale Socia Ministries. The government does, because they really like what Dale's doing. And so they give $1 million to Dale. And then Dale, well, he gives 30,000 of it to his local congressman's reelection campaign. Yeah. And Dale gives it to some of these other government agencies, and everybody's slappy and happy. And so when they give it to a non-government organization, the money, Catholic Charities, the money goes, oh my goodness, folks, it's so wicked. It's so wicked. Say, coach, I didn't know any of that. I know he didn't. $380 million to non-government agencies to bring in immigrants. Did you know that? Bring in immigrants. Yeah. Craig.
Well, I put in the chat a couple pieces of information. One is about when this act was brought up, and it was July 2nd and had no really debate. It just kind of went through. 1954. You know, God likes to work in 50 or 70 years.
Spencer, it's in the chat. Pulled up in the chat.
God likes to work in 70-year blocks. I always told you a generation, I think, can really – it can be 40, but I think mostly it's 70. Well, 70 times 54 is 124 – or 2024, I'm sorry. But the thing is there's some things that might be coming out here with the Kennedy release that might have some really bad dirt.
That's right, brother. Johnson. They don't want that out, do they?
So maybe we'll find out a little bit about the Kennedy assassination, and maybe some of the previous work by Lyndon Johnson will be redone too.
So maybe some of those secret success. Hey, Spence, see if you can find, go to, boy, if you get this, I'll send you a dollar. I'll send you, I'll send you a new child, a little boy, isn't it? I'll send him a dollar too. See if you can find on YouTube where JF Kennedy talked about infiltration. Infiltration. See if you can find that. Where he warned us just before they killed him.
Well, it was about secret societies, Coach.
Secret societies. That's a long one.
You know why he was worried about secret societies? Because his vice president was a 32nd degree Mason.
He knew what was going on. Go to the bottom of the speech. You got JFK killed, that one. Huh? Here you go. JFK tried president. To warn us untold evil. I'm sorry. He connected the dots all the way back to 1915 via the
John F. Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence. And the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
JFK begged the media to alert the American people, but the media didn't do it. Who owns the Federal Reserve thereby controls the media and the Department of Education, not to mention highly influences, yada, yada, yada. Okay, pull that out. Another one, got another one for you. Hang on. Pull up number one. Thomas Paine, December 23rd, 1776. These are the times that try men's souls. Summer soldier, sunshine patriot. You know what a sunshine patriot is, right? Somebody marches in the Memorial Day parade and then goes and hides. The sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of the country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of men and women. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives us everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods. It would be strange indeed if so celestial an article of freedom should not be highly rated. Britain, with an army to enforce her tyranny, excuse me, has declared that she has a right not only to tax, but to bind us in all cases whatsoever. And if being bound in that matter is not slavery, then is there no such thing as slavery upon the earth? Even the expression is impious, for so unlimited a power can only belong to God. Now, I'm not going to go on. Summer soldiers, sunshine patriots. I'm just trying to warn you, we are on the verge of stuff like we can't even believe. All right, somebody come on in. Come on in. You can say, Coach, I didn't know some of this stuff. I know you didn't. Come on, somebody, throw your hand up, jump in there. Dave Allison, Sherry, David Sherry, both of you. Love you both.
Yeah, thanks, Coach, so much. And as you're talking here, I appreciate the fact that you've given me the courage to speak out in the public square.
That's the hard thing, isn't it? Dave, that's the hard thing, isn't it? It's one thing to say it in your house, but it's another to go out with the slings and arrow of outrageous fortune, that you, as Shakespeare said. Go ahead.
It is, and I found out recently that one of my dear friends, my family members, has alienated themselves from us, and they specifically said they attributed it to Pass Assault.
Great.
Because of participation. So there you go. So, but God's working it all. He's going to reveal something. But it is interesting, Coach, and Sharon and I both felt in our hearts over the weekend that all this preparation we were making for the last 6-7 years, we were thinking just in case Trump lost and the whole thing, the wheels came off and chaos ensued. And I really believe that we're again in danger of being lulled to sleep, thinking mm-hmm. that Trump is here, things are going to be well. But actually, the things that he's putting in place could bring about total collapse, which at the end of the day, Coach, if we have to go hungry for food, to be hungry for God, so be it. That's the way I look at it.
Dave, because the possibilities of financial collapse have never been greater. Folks, look, this financial system we have cannot continue to go. It can't continue to go on. Trillions of dollars in debt. How can that possibly go on? And now we're going to crypto coin. They're creating all these different. I don't know what you guys think. But in order for a new king to rise, the other one's got to be deposed. And I'm talking about the financial system. That's what we're dealing with. A dollar ain't a dollar. How can these guys get away with? How can we be trillions of dollars in debt? Who? Who? Where did we get that trillions of dollars? We know who, don't we? Johnny.
Coach, one last comment. I didn't have any enemies when I loved everybody.
Well, Dave, I still love everybody. And I have a lot of enemies. Johnny.
Yeah, that was great. You know, there's got to be a cleansing, and we're upon it.
We are.
Either way, and we are. It's going to be painful. So thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes so that we're on the right side of this. He didn't say it would be easy for us.
No, he didn't.
Really,
he didn't.
We don't know what it's going to look like, and it will be hard, but we can get through.
And Johnny, they're going to blame the Trump administration when this belt tightening, when this has to happen, folks. They're going to squeal like pigs. They're going to call him every name under the book. And like I said, I'm not Trump do or die. I don't hold that position. Got to keep an eye on him. What's going on? I agree with all that. But folks, trillions of dollars in debt? What? Christian people approve? Bible says, owe no man anything except to love him. And they've hawked our children's future. Belt tightening is going to be difficult. Wes.
Hey, good morning, Coach.
Morning.
I find it humorous that the left always harps on a separation of church and state, except when they're getting billions funneled into their churches.
Well, they're okay with a den, aren't they, brother? Huh? They're okay with a den. They're taking out government money. And then what does the government money do? It gets recycled back into the guy. Come on, friends. It goes back. Did you guys see this? I can't even find it right now. The dude at Ukraine, that homosexual guy in Ukraine, what's his name? Doesn't matter. Do you know that he came out over the weekend? Did you know he came out over the weekend and said, we didn't receive that much money. Did you guys know he said that? See if you can find that, Spencer. He said, we didn't receive all that money. $800 billion, we didn't get that. He said, where did it go, friends? Spencer's trying to, I'll give you another dollar if you find it. Zinsky said, what is this? Did he say? I don't know where all the money went. I don't know where all the money went. Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky says Ukraine only received about $75 billion of the $177 billion. Where did it all go? Oh, my goodness. Huh? Oh, my goodness. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, we're still causing a stir up on the square. Standing up there, it's ideal. You got about 8 Democrats with their stupid signs all around the square. So I'm standing up there. The last 6 or 7 weeks, the sign has been local pastor sent to prison for about 7 Saturdays in a row. Then I changed it to thank you, President Trump, for pardoning the J6ers. That was one Saturday, last Saturday. So this one this week, I just put on there, and it's on the backside of each one of my signs. I print a new one. It says, it's time for the pastors to come out of the closet. And I parked the van up there with my 3 Trump flags on it, the new ones. Jesus, my savior, blah, blah, blah. So now these people are coming around the square, blowing horns, thumbs up. These Democrats don't know what to say. You know, one of their signs said, tariffs will cause inflation. I said, what about the last 4 years of Joe and the hoe causing inflation? You didn't complain about that. So I asked him, I said, wouldn't it be something if the pastors finally wake up, the churches wake up, and we come out and take his country back. I said, your party's over. I'm just going on and on with them. They are, and then finally at the end, it's almost all women up there. One old guy stands up there. And he was agreeing with me on things. When I'd say something, I'd say, hey, how did Joe Biden, at $175,000 a year, get four multi-million dollar mansions? The numbers don't add up, folks. And I'm just going through scenarios like that. So at the end, after he was shaking his head yes, the women walked away and he's standing there. I pointed to him. I said, come here. He walked over to me and I said, let me ask you a question. Why are you standing up here as a man following these women? And he just looked at me. He's like, I don't know. I said, you trying to be a Christian? He said, yeah. I said, you go to church? He said, yeah. I said, where do you go? He said, the Unitarian Church in Belleville. I said, oh, buddy, there's your problem. I said, do you hear in that church all the time, God loves everybody? Yeah. I said, what about Jacob and Esau? Jacob, I loved Esau. And he said, hated. I said, exactly. I went through some scenarios with him. I said, listen, buddy, you need to get out of that church. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm at the car lot 6 days a week. You pop in and see me, have a cup of coffee with me, and we're going to talk. So he said, okay, we'll see if he shows up. But that's what I'm doing. It's just, it's a hoot.
Well, so Wikipedia says Unitarianism is a faith tradition which encourages each individual to develop a personal faith. It draws from many different religions in the belief that no one religion has all the answers and that most have something to teach us. From Judeo-Christian heritage, we take the teachings of the Bible, yada, yada. So universe. All gods are equal. All gods. That's Unitarianism, folks. Jack, come on, Jack.
Yeah, the pain's going to be interesting for us right now in northern Maine. The top third of Maine gets 90% of its home heating oil from Canada. A 25% increase is going to be very, very painful. They're going to inflict pain.
Right. That's right. And so then what's going to happen? Then they're going to be anti-Trump. Trump's doing everything. Prices are going up. Hey, friends, look, we're heading, prayerfully, heading to removal of the income tax, value-added tax, meaning when you go buy a can of beans, the beans is 25 cents more expensive because there's a tax on it. But you don't pay any income tax.
It's not going to be on food.
It won't be on food. So they say, well, the rich don't pay their fair share. Well, they do if they keep buying Mercedes-Benzes and airplanes. Oh, they'll pay their fair share. Yes, they will. We've been lied to. We've been lied that we are a nation of lack, and we're not. Lauren, quickly.
Yeah, and this thing, this it just blows my mind. Oh, yeah, it's the rich. Okay, well, you know what? When you tax really high business, when you tax a business and you tax, quote unquote, the rich, who do you think winds up eating that tax when they raise the prices? And okay, tariffs are going to cause, you know, more inflation. I don't get the definition of stupid. And like that, because they've been so programmed on what to think. Right. It's just ridiculous.
I didn't get to a clip I wanted to show you today on how they train you to think. Not what to think, how to think. That's what they do. You're right, Lauren. Right, Lauren. Look, a value added, what do they call it? A tax that you pay when you buy it, rather than money taken out of your income tax.
And think about this one. We have been programmed over and over again to hate the rich. You're not supposed to be rich. So they're taking away our dream to get out of poverty and that we can make it here. So they're destroying the American dream.
Amen.
Because you're not supposed to be independent. You're supposed to be, you know, dependent on the government. And then here we come to find out when Trump is cleaning house and he's, you know, since the United States government is a bunch of hoarders, right?
Right.
Since when did we become the welfare system for the entire world?
Amen. Lauren, these are the times that try men's souls. Buckle up, baby. It's going to be good in the end. See you tomorrow.